left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm Pastor Tom Palmer, a work-in-progress person and pastor in a work-in-progress congregation. So if you don't have it all together all the time and you're a guest with us today, guess what? You've come to the right place, because this is a place of grace. It's a zone of grace, and it's been that way for almost 140 years, as you can see on the placards in front of you. We celebrate 140 years of being the body of Christ, the first church to serve Christ in this community, and we're seeking to redouble our efforts by the grace of God to represent Christ in this community in this year. Our message series is entitled Jesus Sightings. And we find in the Gospels that after the resurrection, Jesus was not done. That Jesus continued to be visible and would appear to the disciples over those 40 days between Easter Sunday and his ascension into heaven. And so he would meet with the disciples from time to time, and they would experience the presence of the risen Christ. But after the risen Christ went into heaven, was ascended into heaven, he was not done, because the early church continued to experience him spiritually. And so there were times when they just knew that the Lord was with them, and the Lord was moving in a powerful way through an Easter people, people like you and me that experienced the risen Christ. And so in this message series, we're looking at a few of those instances in the Scripture in particular that are windows into seeing the risen Christ in our world today. Times when the risen Christ met with the disciples and gives us clues and cues into how the risen Christ is made manifest through you and me today. And so we're looking at, as Caroline read for us, the story of Mary Magdalene. Mary of the village of Magdala, that whose life had been transformed by Jesus. But she was, on Easter morning, anything but feeling transformed. She was in this deep place of despondency and grief. She had, in the past 72 hours, her world had turned upside down and it was falling apart, because the one who had given her life had died. And then when he died, something died within her. And so she was there on Easter morning, after she had rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. She was there, and she was in a place of despair. She was there to honor him, to prepare his body as what could not have been done on Friday because of the Sabbath. She was there to prepare his body, pay her last respects, and give him a proper Jewish burial. But she got to the tomb, and his body had been stolen. Or that is what she assumed. And so she was there in this place of you know, just grief and despair. And someone speaks to her. Now, she doesn't know who it is at that point. It was actually a messenger from God, an angel, who said, "Woman, why are you crying?" And as stunned as she was probably, "Why am I not crying? I mean, this is, I've lost my Lord, and someone has stolen his body. They didn't just crucify him, now they're desecrating his body." And then another voice came, and she turned around, and he said, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she thought he was the gardener of the garden tomb area. He must be a caretaker, a gardener. And she confronts him and said, "Sir, if you have taken his body, please tell me where you've taken it so I can receive it back." And with that, the person that she thought was a gardener looked her in the eye and called her by name, Mary. Mary. Can you imagine what she felt in this place of utter despair, to have this, who she thought was a gardener, look her in the eye and call her by name and say, "Mary, Mary." With that one word, something came to life within her as she realized Jesus was not dead, he was alive. And she came to life again. This was her Easter moment. This was her Christ is risen indeed moment. This was her Jesus sighting. Called by name. You know, it matters. It matters when we're called by name. There's a man named Steve Pemberton. And Steve is if you look at him today, he's a very successful businessman. He's been in leadership of Walgreens and Monster. He is currently with an executive position with Global Force. He's happily married, and he is the CEO and founder of A Chance in the World. It's a foundation that gives aid and assistance to young people who are at the margins. But why is it called A Chance in the World? We see, when he was 2 years of age, he was being cared for by a neighbor because his parents were not present in more ways than one. And she looked at him and looked at his life circumstances, and she said to another person who later told him, "This young man doesn't have a chance in the world." At age 3, he was taken out of the care of his deeply broken parents, both of them troubled and drug-ridden. They died when he was very young, and so he spent the next few years of his life until he aged out of the foster system, bouncing from foster home to foster home to foster home. He was biracial in a day where people didn't know what to do with that. And so he finally found a placement for 11 years, but it was a placement with a family who on the outside seemed like everything was fine, but they were deeply cruel and abusive to him. And one of the things that they never allowed him to do, he would always be punished severely, abused, if he ever looked them in the eye. He suffered that abuse for over 11 years. How did he make it through that? Well, Steve Pemberton says that he found that there are people called, that he calls lighthouse people. And he says, as he describes this, lighthouse people, like a lighthouse just shines. It shines the light. It isn't aware of who is being guided, the ships that are being guided. The lighthouse isn't aware. The lighthouse simply shines the light. And then there are ships, there are boats that are guided to safety through the light of that lighthouse. Steve Pemberton said there were three people in his life over the years that did one thing in common, two things in common. They would look him in the eye and they called him by name. Now that may seem like a little thing, but it was a big thing to him, because when those were the only people that looked him in the eye and called him by name, and when they did that, something came alive within him. It was like an Easter moment for him. They looked him in the eye. They called him by name. They saw him as a person, and they planted a seed of hope in him. A neighbor woman who brought him books, a postal worker who always took time for him, and a teacher. Those were the lighthouse people who looked him in the eye and called him by name. Jesus looked Mary in the eye and called her by name. But she is not the only one. Because Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 3, that I know my own sheep, and I call them by name. Sometimes in this world, we can feel like a number. Sometimes we have experiences that are very impersonal, and we feel like a cog in a wheel. Or there are circumstances in our lives that we feel despondent over. We feel like maybe a nobody in this vast soulless universe. Who am I really? What do I matter? Well, Jesus said this. He told his disciples, a sparrow doesn't fall apart from the awareness of your heavenly Father. God cares about you. The very hair on your head are numbered. He knows our name. We matter to Him. What would it be like if you believed at the core of your being that the God of the universe knew you, loved you, called you by name, that you matter to the God who put Orion and Sagittarius and the North Star into the galaxies, that God cares about you, loves you? What would it do for you if you were convinced that the God of the universe loved you that much to come, give Himself in grace, immense grace, and call you by name? Look you in the eye and call you by name. How would that transform the way we see ourselves? How would that transform the way we see other people? That everyone you encounter, everyone we see, is precious in the eyes of God, called by name. That they deeply matter to God. See, Jesus gave Mary that moment, that naming moment. But Jesus didn't want her to stop there. Jesus didn't want her to park there. Because the next thing Jesus says, and this sounds interesting in the text, he says, Mary, stop holding on to me. Now, what does that tell us about what Mary was doing at that point? Okay? If you were there and you just realized that the one that you saw dead 3 days before was alive, you'd grab him, you know. You would say, hey, it's you, it's you. Well, she was grabbing him, and he said, don't cling to me, because I have work for you to do. Yes, this moment is yours forever. You are called by name, but there are other people that need to know. There are other people in this world that do not have that hope. There are other people in this world that feel discarded by this world, like they're refuse. In this impersonal world, sometimes people can feel all alone and isolated, like they don't matter. Go into the world, Mary. Go and tell my followers and tell everyone you see that I am risen. Look them in the eye. Call them by name and plant a seed of hope in everyone you see. Go, Mary. Go, Mary. Go, Mary. And you know what? Mary went. Mary went and told the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she became one of those people that wherever she went, that she looked people in the eye, called them by name, and planted seeds of hope. She was a living, breathing, look people in the eye, call them by name, lighthouse person. She embodied what it was to be a lighthouse person, a Jesus sighting person. Everywhere she went, Jesus was present. She became Jesus' hands and feet. She became a Jesus sighting. And you know how that's how we got to where we are today, because Mary did her go in her generation, and then someone else in the next generation, and then the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And 50 generations later, even in dark days, even in difficult days, even when the church didn't always shine the light, there were people who did, who shared the message of hope, who looked people in the eye, called them by name, and planted seeds of hope. That God has possibilities for you, possibilities of grace that you do not currently imagine. But God has that for you, and you, and you, and you. Every generation. I'm grateful for the generation our confirmands represent. And they recently created a video where they shared where they saw Jesus present in their confirmation journey. Take a look.
When we went to Sky Ranch, we saw him in our courage and joy, in the jumps we took, in the friendships we deepened,
in overcoming fear, and in the joy we shared.
We've seen Jesus.
We've seen him in the kindness of others,
in the faith of those around us,
and when we are receiving the love and help and teachings from so many.
We've seen Jesus.
We have seen him in our friends and in our classmates,
in the way we encourage each other,
and we've become closer to our friends and families because of Jesus' love.
We've seen Jesus.
We have seen him through service work and in the faces of the people we've helped,
in listening and when we pray.
We've seen Jesus.
Jesus is always here.
We're always talking about him.
Jesus is the reason.
Jesus is the reason.
Jesus is the reason I'm in confirmation.
Because I believe.
Because I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
Because I believe.
We've seen Jesus.
And now we've seen Jesus through some of our confirmands, and so many others can share their story as well. We've seen Jesus, and it's our chance to do the same, to know that we are called by name, but not just to stop there, but to call others by name, to look them in the eye and plant seeds of hope. The reality is, you may be the best sermon someone ever hears. You may be the best Bible someone ever reads. You may be the best representation of the risen Christ that someone ever experiences. You are a Jesus sighting. The risen Christ goes through you. You are his hands and feet. And as we come to this table this day, we come to the one who calls us personally and deeply into relationship with him, calls us by name that we might be nourished to be Jesus-sighting people in the world. So come. Come and experience the one who calls you by name, that you may go and be Jesus-sighting people everywhere we go. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come to the table this day, may we know we are called by name, that you are the one who has come that we might have life and life more abundant, that we matter. Each one of us matters to you, but also every person we encounter. And so may we feast this day that we might be those that share your light with others as Lighthouse people, as Jesus-sighting people, wherever we go. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.